So let's start. I'm going to talk to you about the KDE packages for SLE that we have done for Package Hub. I suppose that you have been in the other Package Hub talks that have been in the conference. But for this time, I'm going to talk only about the KDE packages and about the whole process in order to get the KDE packages in Package Hub. So that might be a starting point for you if you want to also collaborate with Package Hub and submit your applications there. It will be maybe an interesting talk for you. So let's start explaining who am I, because I suppose that most of you don't know me. At least I don't know most of you. So I'm Antlar on IRC, Antonio de la Rosa on the real world. I've been a KDE developer since 20 years ago. I've been a SUSE user since the 98, something like that. At that time, SUSE sent DVDs to all KDE developers, so I started using it at that time. I've been a SLE user since around 2004. In the previous company I worked for before coming to SUSE, I used the SLE as a maintainer, as a system administrator, and also developed the applications for SLE. And I've been a SUSE developer. I've been working at SUSE for the last 4 years. And also, for a bit longer than a year, around the year 2000. And currently, I'm at the SLE desktop team. Okay, I work most of the time with GTK applications, but also with KDE applications on OpenSUSE. So how did this project begin about making KDE applications, KDE packages for SLE? Well, mainly it started as a Hackweek project. I suppose that most of you who have worked in the Hackweek, it also happened to you probably that the first day of the Hackweek you still don't know what to do, and then talking with some people, they suggested that maybe it would be a good idea to make KDE packages for SLE, and I thought, let's see, there are KDE packages for OpenSUSE, so it shouldn't be much of a problem. I was wrong, okay? That's a spoiler of the talk. It started in Hackweek 12, to be more precise. If you check the dates, I had to check it. It's around April 2015. So it's been a while now since I started working on this. But most of the work was actually done by the end of the year of 2015 and the beginning of 2016, okay? I worked obviously during the Hackweek, but I was overwhelmed. There was a lot of work to be done, and it was clear that it was not a project to be done in a week after I started. So in a sense, this project has been kind of a guinea pig for Package Hub, because we have been testing things before Package Hub was released, and I suppose it's not wrong to say something like that, okay? So before beginning about talking about how this is done, probably I should talk about how KDE is structured into OBS. I guess most of you already know, maybe, so I will probably go faster on this. Basically, we have several projects for Qt packages. The main project for that is KDE Qt 5, which is the dev project for Qt in factory. And then also we have Qt 5.6, Qt 5.7, and you know the progression, right? You see the pattern there. Then we also have KDE projects. We have split that into Frameworks 5. There's a project, KDE Frameworks 5, which includes right now frameworks and Plasma packages, mixed there. Also, we have KDE Frameworks 5 LTS, which is the LTS version of Plasma. And it includes a newer version of frameworks, but not so new as in KDE Frameworks 5. Personally, I think that we should also split that, but probably that will happen in the weeks, months. But right now, frameworks and Plasma are in the same project, okay? And then we have KDE applications, which is basically KDE applications, as the name says, the software, the applications for KDE. Then There's also KDE Extra, which is more applications for KDE that are not part of the KDE applications software compilation. Okay. And then we also have a kind of an obsolete project, which is KDE Distro Factory, which includes KDE 4 packages, which are still in use. And with a little luck, we will stop using that soon, as soon as possible. Okay. Then we also have other projects in OVS for KDE, which are the unstable projects, which have the service to get the, which have the services to get the packages from JIT directly. These are, as you see, something clear. Qt frameworks, applications, and extra, and they are updated mostly every day. Okay, and sometimes even more than once per day. So these are the base for OpenSUSE Krypton and Argon. Those distributions take the packages from these projects. So with so many projects to take to base or SLE packages from, what should we take? Well, basically, at the beginning, I decided to go with KDE 5.4.3, I think. But then, when OpenSUSE Leap was released, when OpenSUSE Leap was updated, I changed it and used KDE 5.5.5. Okay. Basically, I used the Devel project for Factory, which I realized that was kind of a bad decision. And when I was making the packages for SP2, for SD12 SP2, I decided to go and just use directly the packages from Leap. From Leap 42.2, okay? Because the 42.2 packages from KDE were, there was a lot of time invested into those packages, and it would be a pity not to use them. Okay. So basically, at the beginning, I used these projects as a base. And if we count the packages that are in each of these projects, then we see that there are quite a few packages there in each of the projects. And if we sum them, we see that there are nearly 1,000 packages there. Of course, not all of them are currently in Package Hub. There are many packages that they don't make sense in SLE, like, for example, Discover or some of those App Store applications that use newer PackageKit dependencies, and which SLE users usually don't want to use App Stores for that. Okay? There are also not so common applications that don't make sense on enterprise. Also games, for example. Also, I included a few games, just in case. And well, at the end, basically, we put into Package Hub something like 350, 400 packages. Okay. So we already know what to base our project on. And then I started building everything. And first problems arise. Some of the libraries that we were using, OVS couldn't resolve the dependencies. I mean, I had a project in which I built, Qt 5 base, and then when I was going to build another application or another library that depended on that, OVS simply said that the dependency was unresolved. And it was in the same project, and this was what the fuck? Okay? It was a kind of a strange situation. Well, it turns out that KDE uses dependencies like with capabilities instead of like using package names. Not all of them, but in many cases, it uses dependencies like that. And RPM in SLE wasn't creating the provides for those libraries. Okay. So the solution was simple once the problem was known, and only including a CMake RPM macro file from Factory into the CMake package in SLE, and it was solved, and we had all the capabilities included into the packages. Not bad. Okay. So we have a problem with packages missing in CD12. There are many packages that were mainly missing there. They weren't there. And then there were other packages that were too old. Maybe I should say too stable, because they were not updated, with respect to factory, of course. But in any case, I needed newer things, and I needed things that weren't there. So I learned about BSK the hard way, because sincerely, I didn't even knew that was something. And it turns out that packages that are in SLE sometimes are used to build other packages but are not included into the distribution. So that was happening there. And fortunately, I got in touch with Adrian Schroeder, with Leonardo Chiquito, and other developers who helped me and move the applications to OVS so that I could use them around there. Okay. So afterwards, this I think that I've already been explaining in other talks. RPM Lint complained that many packages that I was building interfere with other packages that were already into SLE. Release it or not, I mean, even if it was only interfering with one package that was used to build on other packages but were not released, then it didn't matter. I mean, I couldn't build that package, and RPM Lint complained, and the building of the package stopped. So it resulted out I couldn't build new versions of Qt, of course. You have to remember that SLE12 used Qt 5.3.1, and even SP1 still used 5.3.2, which is a very old Qt version. But fortunately, Max, I don't know if around here, Max Lin, backported a lot of patches from upstream into Qt. He really did a great job, and those versions were good enough for us. Okay. But there were also other packages, like CMake, which was very old. Kdlib 4 was included. I mean, it's not in the distribution, but it's in BSK. Libkipi, FFmpeg, Mesa, LLVM. There were old versions of that, of those packages, and something had to be done. So, as I said, no package in Package Hub can have the same name or include a file that is already included in any package in SLE. So that might look like a problem for us if we want to create a package, but it actually makes sense for users, and we have to think of users. So we have to find a solution that works for us. So the main solution for this is to patch the package in SLE and include any feature that we need from the newer version, okay? To backport things, I should have said that. Oops, sorry. Mm-hmm. So sometimes also it's possible to force RPM Lint to ignore the error and whitelist the package so that it could continue. Of course, this is not a long-term solution. This is only a solution in order to continue building and continue working while the real problem was fixed. Okay, this was done because if I would have had to stop for every package that had this problem, then I would still be building KDE packages. Okay, this way I could continue working with other packages while someone else was fixing this application. So another problem was the Wayland problem. It turns out KDE at that time required Wayland 1.3, but SLE12 only had 1.2. So probably you are wondering now, SLE12 used Wayland? Well, the answer is, of course, no. Okay, but it was used to build other packages, as I said before. So the solution in this case was to patch Wayland and include some quite a few patches from upstream. And yeah, it got there and it will find, so could continue. Also, some other problem that I have was with Akonadi. I am showing you here a small selection of the problems that we have. We have many more. But in this case, for example, Akonadi had a special requirement for SQLite 3, which was some support for unlock notify interface, which can only be enabled at compile time. So the solution was easy to do, but it's also another change that we had to do in SLE in order to support this. Then Python SIP. Python SIP, as included in SLE 12, which was the version 4.15.4, wasn't enough. And in order to build Python Qt 5 bindings, we needed some features from 4.16. So these are the list of features that we needed. And basically, I just have to backport all of them. Fortunately, Python SIP is not very used on SLE. So it was mainly used only to build the Qt 4 bindings. And the Qt 4 bindings are only used by two packages, FFAIDO Mixer and HPLib in SLE. So I tested the packages and saw that they worked fine, and we could go on. So we reached a point in which lib 42.2 was released, and sorry, it included a Plasma, I think, 5.4 something. And in the update, in the maintenance update, it was upgraded to 5.5.5. So, we hadn't released anything yet for Package Hub, so I thought, let's upgrade it. Why not? There are many problems that are already fixed. It should be quite more straightforward, right? So, the problem was that this update brought new dependencies. And for example, the Wayland problem returned. And this time, KDE required Wayland 1.7, which is a long leap from 1.2, which one was still provided by SLE. So, well, SLE SP1 included Wayland? No, of course, it didn't. But the solution was to backport even more patches from upstream. At the end, I think I got something like 20-something patches from upstream in order to build everything. So it was quite a lot of work. The problem, by the way, in case you're wondering, why KDE needs Wayland if KDE still doesn't use Wayland even in lib or in factory? The problem is that there, well, not problem, but the thing is that there is a dependency in KWin on some Wayland libraries that it uses internally to work, even in X11. So the Wayland libraries have to be there. Okay. So another problem was the SLE branding packages, because as you know, SLE has a different branding from OpenSUSE. So I couldn't use the Plasma 5 OpenSUSE branding packages. And what I did was to create a new Plasma 5 SLE branding packages, which were, of course, based on the OpenSUSE ones. But I changed the backgrounds with the standard SLE backgrounds. I changed the splash screens to include more SUSE logotype, logos, and this kind of things, right? OK. So basically, we reached to a point in which we could test some things. OK. And we found out that there were missing binaries. I mean, everything built fine. All the dependencies were there when building, but when the user wanted to install the system, there was some dependencies that weren't available for him, because he's not using OBS, of course. So there were packages in OBS that were not available for SLE users. For example, that's a small list of them. As you see, it's not only Qt 5 packages, the Qt 5 modules, but also Glue, also LMDB, also FLAC, even, and some other libraries. In some cases, Some of those libraries were available for SLE desktop, but not for SLE server. In other cases, some of those packages were available for SLE server, but not for SLE desktop. In other cases, they were not available for any of them. And well, it had to be worked on, which also took time. So, the KDE packages finally arrived for SP1 after more than a year, in July last year. And I thought, OK, this time SP2 won't catch me off guard, and I will be prepared. So together with Max, we upgraded Qt in SP2 to the LTS version, to 5.6.1, which is a nice upgrade. And it also allowed us to remove many patches that were backported and just use the LTS version, which is easier to maintain. So that's very nice. Also, I got rid of the Wayland problem, and I said, OK, let's upgrade Wayland to 1.11, and that will solve everything. At least the Wayland problem, not everything. I didn't do this, but it was nice that someone else did. I don't know if you are here. Thank you. Someone else upgraded CMake to 3.5.2. Also, that helped a lot because there were many packages in KDE which were requiring a newer version of CMake. In some cases, there was a silly dependency that if we removed it, basically it worked. There was nothing else to be done, just remove the dependency. But in other cases, it was really required. Okay. So as I said, it wouldn't catch me off guard, but actually it did. Okay. Because I didn't thought at that time about the problem with the internal API usage of some KDE applications. Some KDE applications and libraries use internal API from Qt because they need to use it. And this means that the KDE applications, like as unimportant as KWin, the window manager, or Plasma, just require a specific version of Qt. I mean, you cannot upgrade Qt without the recompiling, rebuilding, and reinstalling the KDE applications. So that was a problem because there were many users using SLE 12 SP1 with the KDE packages, and when they upgraded to SP2, basically their desktop stopped working. Okay. Also, the KDE look changed quite a bit, and many configuration files changed places. They changed the format. The QML files that define the look also changed a lot. And this means that the OpenSUSE branding was changed. And I was basically using some script to change the brandings from OpenSUSE to SLE. And this script stopped working. So this meant a lot of work that had to be done also. And this time, I said, OK, most of the dependency problems are already solved, actually, in SP2. These are OK, thanks. So just use the lib42.2 packages that, as I said before, were much nicer. So this means that we upgraded in the SP2 change, we upgraded frameworks, we upgraded Plasma. Even during the SP2 maintenance, I upgraded to 5.8.6. We upgraded some applications. So can you use Plasma in SLE? I'm going faster because I've been told that my time is finishing, OK? So don't ask for permission. Just use it, OK? Just do it. The only thing you have to do is register your SUSE product, your SLE system, enable the package hub extension and the SDK. Actually, I'm not sure if SDK is actually needed, but it doesn't matter if you enable it. And then do zipper install pattern KDE, OK? Only that. We'll install a whole KDE desktop in your SLE system, which is installing around 450 new packages and around 300 megabytes. OK? It's quite a few packages, but it's worth it. So the idea after you install it is that you get this GDM version, this GDM screen, sorry. Then in the gear box next to sign in, you have to click it, and then a pop-up appears where you select Plasma, and then you log in, and you get into Will it work? Of course. You get into your Plasma desktop, which, as you see, is very similar to the GNOME desktop in Sleep, because I tried to make it as similar as possible. Will SDDM work? In fact, I talked with Scott a few days ago about that, because I thought it didn't, but actually it does. I tried it these days in a virtual machine for Sleep desktop and for Sleep server, and actually it works quite well. As you see, basically it's the same GDM meaning, the same GDM look. Only you have to change the etc sysconfig display manager and change GDM with SDDM. And as you see, that look is very similar. The only known issue is that the shutdown button just locks out from your session. So the solution is easy. Just do an extra click on your display manager and shut down the system from there. So there are already KDE packages for Package Hub. Just use them. And this is not a KDE issue. There are many KDE dependencies that were included in Package Hub thanks to this. So I think, and I hope at least, that many other projects get easier into Package Hub thanks to this. And I would like to thank all these people for helping to get into to get the packages into Package Hub. So I don't know if we have time for questions. No? OK. So thank you.